many connections between the Mishkan and the creation of the world. That the Mishkan is looked upon as a mini world, mini creation. And I'm going to mention to you some of these connections, right, some of the similarities, and then we'll see a, I think, very interesting idea behind this, what it means that Klal Yisrael were commanded to create a little world that has a parallels to the big world. First, the Kli Yoker says, just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, he created it with Midas Hadin, and he also mitigated it and attached Rachamim to it. So the world was created with Din and Rachamim. So too, the Mishkan was built by Bezalel, who came from Shevet Yehuda. Yehuda alludes to God's name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which is a name of mercy. And Ahaliyav, who came from the tribe of Dan, Din. The Zohar says even more, the tribe of Yehuda is from the right, meaning from the Chesed, and the tribe of Dan is from the left, from Midas Hadin. So the Mishkan was built by two builders, one representing Midas HaRachamim, one representing Midas Hadin. There's only one problem. Over here it seems to be just the opposite of the creation of the world. The creation of the world, predominantly HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it with Din, and then he added Rachamim. But over here the predominant builder was Bezalel, who was the Rachamim. And the partner, the added-on, was Eliyav, who was the Din. So you have to understand why. Why is it the opposite of the world? Right? Same idea, Din and Rachamim, but the emphasis is different between the Mishkan and the world itself. And that's why Chazal say that Bezalel knew Ladas Lechaber Osio Shenivru Bohem Shamayim Va'aretz. He knew how to combine the letters, which means the names of God, that were used in creating the world. Because since he was creating a mini world, he had to know how to put together those letters to, in the spiritual sense, create this world. He had to know how to create worlds. So that was part of Bezalel's talents. And we find in the Medrash that just like the world was created with three aspects, Chochma, Bina, and Das, and it brings Psukim to show each one, so too it says, V'amale also Ruach Elokim, V'chochma, V'bino, V'das, Bezalel also had to have those three milas, Chochma, Bina, and Das, in order to create this mini-world. Another thing that Kli Yoker points out, a parallel between the creation of the world and the Mishkan, when the world was created, so it says that it was expanding without a stop until God yelled at it and said, die, enough. And that formed the parameters of the world. And that's why God is called Shakai, Sho'omar La'olam Al Dai, because he said to the world, enough, don't expand, stop expanding. So by the Mishkan is the same thing. When they collected for the Mishkan, people brought and brought, and it was too much. And Moshe had to say, Dio, enough. Don't bring any more. Similar parallel to how the world was created. In fact, the Kli Yoker says that what was the purpose? Why did God create the world in such a way that it expanded and expanded until he said stop? In order to put in the world this concept that people always want more and more. Hanefesh lo simole. But there has to be a time that you say stop. So God put into the world this idea that by nature the world expands and expands, but there is a person has to be like God and put limits. I want to add some other parallels that I didn't see that are mentioned. One other parallel is that it says there's a machlokus between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, when the world was created. Rabbi Yoshua says the world was created in Nisan, and Rabbi Eliezer says in Tishrei. Tosfos says they're both true. The world was created b'machshava, on a thought level, in Tishrei, and l'maisa, on an actual level, in Nisan. Now, what that means is not so simple, but right now is not time to go into it. Okay? But in any case, the Mishkan was begun to be built in Tishrei, after Yom Kippur, and it was completed in Nisan. Similar thing of the creation of the world, Tishrei and Nisan. Another thing, we are commanded not to do malacha on Shabbos in order to remember that God didn't create the world on Shabbos. He stopped creating on Shabbos, and therefore God created the world. So what aren't we allowed to do on Shabbos? The 39 malachas that went into building the Mishkan. Why? Because since building the Mishkan is our idea of creation of the world, so if we want to rest from those things that go into creating a world, our idea of things that go into creating the world that we can create, which is the Mishkan, is the 39 malachas. So by not doing those 39 malachas, we are refraining from creation just as much of the world, just as much as God refrained from the creation of the bigger world, of the macrocosm. We're from the microcosm of the Mishkan. And therefore, it's not just that the Torah commanded us about Shabbos concerning the Mishkan to let us know they can't build the Mishkan on Shabbos. It just happens to be that the idea of Shabbos comes in conflict with the Mishkan, so the Torah had to tell us can't build the Mishkan on Shabbos. It's more than that. Since the building of the Mishkan is a parallel, is connected to the creation of the world, just like Shabbos was integral to the creation of the world, Shabbos is integral to the building of the Mishkan. Because the building of the Mishkan, 6 days, and not building it on Shabbos, is part of the totality of creation. Just like creating the world in 6 days and resting on Shabbos is part of creation. Creation was missing that rest, and God therefore created rest on Shabbos, and that's part of the 7 days of creation. There's 7 days of creation. And the last day, Shabbos, is part of the creation itself. It's the part of creation where God didn't do anything, right? So therefore, in the Mishkan also, there had to be the creation of the Mishkan and the cessation of creation of the Mishkan, which is Shabbos, in order to be like the creation of the world. So it's not just that God had to mention Shabbos, so you shouldn't build the Mishkan on Shabbos. Had to mention Shabbos because that's part of the integral building of the Mishkan. Shabbos is part of that. Okay. Another thing. It says, in the end, when the Mishkan was completed, it says the following terminology. It says, Vayichal Moshe v'chokim es ha-Mishkan. Where's that pasuk? It says, Vayokim es ha-chotzer saviv. Moshe Rabbeinu erected the Mishkan. He put it all up. And at the end it says, Vayichal Moshe es ha-malacha. He completed the work. It's exactly what it says by Ma'isa Bereishis. Vayichulu ha-shamayim v'ha-aretz. Right? Vayichal Elokim v'yom ha-shvi'i. So the same terminology is used for the completion of the Mishkan and the completion of creation. Similarly, by the end of creation, it says, "Vayar Elokim es kol asher osa v'hine tov ma'od," and then "Vayivorech Elokim es yom hashvi'i." God blessed his creation, blessed the Shabbos, which is the culmination, and that's what it says. What's it called in the end of the Mishkan? It says, "Vayar Moshe es kol hamalacha." Moshe saw all of the work. V'hinei osu osu kasher tziva Hashem kein osu v'yivorech osu Moshe. Moshe blessed them. Similar to God. God saw all that was created, and it was good, and very good. And here it says that Moshe saw everything, and he saw that they did it the way it was supposed to be done, and he gave them a bracha. Just like God saw his creation and gave it a bracha. What was the bracha he gave? He wrote, on shetishra shechina v'maisa yedeichem. May God's presence rest in your handiwork. The Noam Hashem Elokein, the Noam, the pleasantness of God should rest in your handiwork. And that's just like Shabbos. Shabbos is God's presence, the pleasantness, only Shabbos, right? And that was the blessing that God gave creation, that that it should culminate in the sweetness and rest of Shabbos. So same thing, similar parallel over here. Also, there were 10 mamoros, 10 utterances that went into creating the world and all of its parts. And I was thinking there are 10 different components to the Mishkan. What were they? There was Machane Yisrael. The Jewish people who camped around the Mishkan was one component, one area. Then there was Machane Leviya. There was where the Leviyim were, immediately around the Mishkan. Then there was the Azara, the Chatzar HaMishkan, the courtyard of the Mishkan. That was the next level up. Then there was the Heichal, the Kodesh, where you had the Menorah and the Shulchan and the Mizbeach HaKetores. Then there was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where was the Aron. Then there were the actual Kalim themselves that were in these places, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the incense altar, and then outside was the Mizbeach HaOla, the sacrificial altar, and the Aron. If you add them up, there are also 10 things. So they're like the 10 utterances which went into all the components of the world. There were 10 components of the Mishkan too. And I think, if you think about it, there is a parallel between everything that was created day by day and something in the Mishkan. For instance, on the first day was created light. That is represented by the Aron. The Aron is a source of light for the world. Torah is light. And the Aron, that's why it's called an Aron. Comes from the word or, right? It is the place, depository of light. So light was created on the first day, and that is the Aron. On the second day, God created Rakia to separate between the upper waters and the lower waters. You have the Paroches, which separates between the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadosh, and you have the sky, the Urios, the various coverings of the Mishkan, which were like the sky. In fact, it says that the rios were held by hooks, brass hooks. And when you looked up at the top of the Mishkan, it looked like stars in the sky. So that represents the sky. On the third day of creation, God created vegetation, trees, and grain, and so on. So the trees are represented by the crushim, right? The pillars of the Mishkan, right, that made the Mishkan, what do they call the beams of the Mishkan, and the tevuah and everything is you bring sacrifices from meal offerings, especially the shtei alechem, right, the not shtei alechem, the lechem aponim, right, that went on the table, that went on the shulchan, that's from the vegetable kingdom. On Wednesday was the sun, moon, and stars. You have the menorah, which represents the sun, and the stars, we said, were in the sky, the hooks. So you have the luminaries represented. On Thursday, God created fish and birds. So birds are brought as sacrifices. The only thing I couldn't find, but I finally did, is fish. There is nothing of fish represented in the Mishnah. Except there is something, the tchelis. The tchelis comes from a sea creature. But there's still no kosher fish represented. There's no kosher fish have anything to do with the Mishkan. So I was thinking, could be, it says that when Adam HaRishon sinned, so they fed from the Eitz Hadash to all the animals and birds. But it doesn't say they fed it to the fish. The fish never were affected, not by the sin of Adam, and later on by the Mabul, the fish didn't get killed, because they weren't affected by what people did, because they were in their own mikvah. They were isolated from human beings, so the human beings couldn't have effect on them. So the fish never were corrupted. That's why a fish, a kosher fish, every part of it you can eat. You can eat the blood, you can eat the fat, you don't have to shecht it. It's 100% kosher and tar. Fish never become tummy, right? Anything that grows in the sea is never tummy. It's always tar. I was thinking maybe that's why, because it never was corrupted, not in the sin of Adam and Rishon, and not in the sin of the Mabul, and therefore the fish didn't need any tikkun, so they don't need to be in the Mishkan. They're hinted to in the Mishkan through the tcheles, but that's a non-kosher sea animal, right? Whatever it may be. It's some kind of mollusk or a snail or something, whatever it is, right? but it's not a kosher fish. So kosher fishes didn't need this tikkun, but the sea world is hinted to in the Mishkan through the Tchelus. And then you have on Friday animals and human beings. So animals are brought as sacrifices, and also their hides were used as the coverings, Elim Adamim, and the hair of the goats and sheep was used, the wool. And man, you have the Kohanim. And then Shabbos, right, is the time that you don't build the Mishkan. So Shabbos is also hinted to in the entire construction of the Mishkan. Now, okay, so now I've showed you that there is tremendous parallels between creation and the building of the Mishkan. The Mishkan is like a little world, thank you. Like a little world. Now let me read you a medrash that puts this, I think, the way I see it, into an extremely interesting perspective. Medrash says like this: Eile pekudei hamishkan, lamedcha shechavivin maisei hamishkan kamaisei shamayim v'aretz. The building of the Mishkan was as precious as the creation of heaven and earth. Ki shamayim v'aretz ol nivru ela b'shvil Avram. The whole heavens and whole world was created for the sake of Avram Avinu and his progeny. Right? Behi baram ba'Avraham baram. Behi baram, it says that God created them. Behi baram, the he baram is the same letters as Abraham. Matakanasa shalolam. What is the world consist of? Shneimas chadashim. Time is the dimension that's added to the world of space, right? So what is the takana of the world? 12 months. Shnei Masrei Mazalos. 12 different constellations, different signs of the zodiac. Each one has its influence. Ukenegdom Shnei Masrei Shvatim. And parallel to that is the 12 tribes. Vasinu Lecha Mishkan Kenegid Maisa Bereshis. And we said, and we made you a Mishkan parallel to the world you made us. You made us a world, and we made you a world. Okay, you made a world with 12 months, and we, 12 Shvatim, made a world parallel to your world. B'yom HaRishon, and here there's a parallel. B'yom HaRishon Baras HaShemayim V'aretz, you created in your world, God, on the first day, heaven and earth. Af'anu asinu l'cha aron sheyesh bo shnei luchol so'evin she'en keneged Shemayim V'aretz. We also created a world that has two luchos that correspond to heaven and earth. Okay? And they're in the Aron, also the light, like I said. Doesn't mention that, but the light on the first day, right? And heaven and earth is all what's in the Aron. The Aron is the light, and the heaven and earth is with two luchos. B'yom ha'sheni barosa sarakia, cholek b'mayim l'mayim. On the second day, you created the firmament, which separated between the upper worlds and the lower worlds. We created also a separation, the paroches, that separates between the kodesh and the chol. B'yom ha'shlishi barosos hayam ha'gadol. On the third day you created the sea. U'kenegdo asinu l'chakiyor. B'yam shosu shlomo. We made the laver, which has water in it. And the, what's it called, and the yam. Shlomo made a gigantic mikveh that was part of the Beit Mikdash. Ubarasam is, and on Tuesday you also created food, vegetation. V'afonu asinu l'shimcha shulchan, the olav lechem aponim. We created the shulchan with the lechem, right, which comes from grain. So we also included the vegetable world. V'yomaravi barasam ma'oros u'mazolos. On the fourth day you created the luminaries and the stars. U'kenegdem asinu l'chom menorah shiva takonim. Keneged Shiva Mazova Shalom Ismaibohem. And we gave you a menorah that has seven branches, which are like the seven planets that Chazal consider planets. B'yom Chamishi Barasa Ofos. On Thursday you created birds, who keneged them asinu l'cha kruvim, porse knafayim ka'ofos. The kruvim look like birds. They have wings, like birds. B'yom Hashishi Barasa Adam. On the sixth day you created man, v'eskinu v'chnisosu v'gan Eden, you put him into Gan Eden, u'knegdo asinu v'itkinu l'fanechus Aaron Kohen Gadol. And we gave you Aaron. Opposite that. And our u'gedulas Aaron gedolim u'gedulas Adam Rishon, our creation of giving you Aaron was greater than Adam, because mishikivin sho'over aveiro nitrim migan Eden. Adam sinned and had to be thrown out of Gan Eden. Aval Aaron kivin sheboli de sircho nisratzva HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Aaron, even though he sinned by the sin of the golden calf, he was forgiven. And he nichnas v'shimesh b'ol moed, and he goes into the, he's allowed to stay there in our world. He wasn't thrown out, and he goes into the Holy of Holies even. So that's what we said to God. God, you created us a tremendous world, and we create a little world in it, parallel to it. Miyad heishiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'nes Yisrael. So God now answers the Jewish people, and he says the following. Ho'el v'asisim l'fanei ol moed, since you made me this Mishkan, right, this little world in my big world, Mishkan, the Aaron, the Luchos, Ushara Kalim, Ani Ever Lachem Kil, I will now create, opposite them, another world. Kinegan Amishkan V'Aron and Mechanish Lachem Shemayim V'Aretz, I will create a new heaven and earth, this is the world to come, opposite what you created, the heaven and earth down here. Kin nibori shemayim, ukineged aparocha shasis l'mefanei, hari ein osid l'hoyer l'pneichem ke'en harakia, and that which you made, the paroches, which is opposite my firmament, I'm going to make your faces shine like the firmament in the future. V'amaskilim yaziru kezorakia, it says that the tzadikim will shine like the shine of the sky. Ukineged ha'shulchan l'lechem upon him, hari eni mevorech es kol ha'peros, and what's it called? The shulchan, the lechem upon him, which is vegetation. I will give you. I will bless all your fruit. The fruit over here may be an allusion to the world to come, which is the fruit of this world. The eitz hasod the yitain pirio, ukeneged shasisa menorah the neroseh harini mevi lechem or ashchina. You created a menorah and candles, which are keneged my sun and stars. I'm going to make you what's it called? They bring you the light of the Shechinah in the future. And it says, V'hoya ora levona ko'orachama, and the orachama ko'or shiva shimei bereshis. I'm going to bring you the light that doesn't depend anymore on the sun and the moon, but the light of God itself, which will illuminate things. U'keneged kruvim shasisim lefanei, v'hem keneged ha'ofos. You made kruvim that correspond to my birds. Hareini mechanis es gluyoseichem. I'm going to bring you like birds from Golus and bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. Right, like you're on the wings of eagles or whatever. Ukenev Aaron shetikantem also the mikdash, and what's it called? You set up Aaron for me, the Kohen Gadol. Etein lachem gedulik, I'll make you all Kohanim. V'atem Kohani Hashem tikro, you'll all be called the Kohanim of Hashem. Lachem nish never mishkan ha'edus. Edus hi lachol boyolim shein slicha Yisrael. God forgave us for the golden calf, and He gave us a mean to create our eternal atonement in the world to come. Shinisracha Kodesh Baruch Yisrael, Shinamar Vosli Mikdosh Vishachanti Bisokha. What do you see from here? Very interesting idea. God, Kibiyacho, right, pulls himself out of a space, okay, whatever that means, and gives a place for there to be a creation. He makes place for man and creates an entire creation for the sake of man, and the purpose of the creation is that the world should be filled with men. Men, women, children. Okay, you get the idea. People. Okay, people. Okay, it should be filled with people. And that's what it says. Lo l'to bra, God didn't create the world to be desolate and empty. L'shevesh yitzar, He created it to be populated. So the purpose of this world is to fill it up with people. Okay? And God created all the various components of the world for the sake of people. Okay. And we are what's it called, supposed to there, take the world, pull ourselves back a little bit, and create another world in there that's to be filled up with God. It says, Vayimole, what's it called, Vayimole, Kvod Hashem Mile Asamishkan. God filled up the Mishkan. Just like God wants to fill the world with people, we want to build the world and fill it up with God. And that's the purpose of the of creation. Purpose of creation is that we should use this world to create another world, which is the world to come. So by what we do in this physical world, we bring God's presence into everything. All the physical things then become used in a way that they serve God. That is what this world was all about. And that's what it says. God created this world for the sake of the Torah and for the sake of the Jewish people. Torah being His will, and we perform His will in this world, and then we create the world to come. But how does it work? We take the components of the world and create a world where we fill it up with God's presence, and the Mishkan was created for the sake of the Torah, because the Torah was given from the Mishkan, right? In the desert, God spoke to Moshe and continued giving the Torah that was given to Har Sinai. God then transferred His presence to the Mishkan and continued giving the Torah. And then in the Beis HaMikdash, all Nevuah, all the Nevi'im, which was the continuation of the Torah through the Nevi'im, was done from the Beis HaMikdash. It says all the Nevi'im got their prophecy from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then the second Beis HaMikdash, all of Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, which came from the Sanhedrin, was also located in the Mikdash, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. So we built a Mishkan, a Mikdash, for the sake of Torah and for the sake of God. He built a world for the sake of Torah and for the sake of the Jewish people. And we built a world for the sake of Torah, for the sake of God. And then God said, since now you took my world and you paralleled it in order to use it for filling the world up with me, you took a mini world and filled it up with me, now I'm going to give you the Olam Haba. That's how it works. We were put in this world to create Olam Haba. We do it by creating a mini world where God's presence is, and that then is the way that God utilizes it to give us from this world the next world. So God created a world where we can create a mini world, and from that God creates the Olam Haba for us. That's how it works. And that's why I think when God created the world, His purpose was to let us earn our share in the world to come. Earning means justice. You get what you deserve. Because if He wanted to, He could have given it to us on a silver platter, undeserved, and we wouldn't have appreciated it that much, or as much as we would appreciate it if we earned it. So therefore, when this world was created, when God created the world for us, His predominant midah was midas hadin. Because the purpose of this world is we should earn our olam haba. So that means that we should be with justice, not with mercy. Because if you have mercy, then you didn't earn it. Then you got help. The less help you get, the better it is. That's why the ideal in this world is somebody who can function with total midas hadin. But since people can't function like that, most people, so they need mercy, they need help. So He added rachamim. But when we created our mini world for God, right, we are trying to get what God originally wanted to give us for free. But from our standpoint, we couldn't get it for free because we had to earn it. So when God created the world for us, din was the most important thing and rachamim was a secondary thing. An addition. But when we create the world for God, in order for God to now give us that Olam Haba, that is God's original plan of chesed, total mercy, total kindness. So by us, our world is predominantly rachamim, the world we create. And the din is only a secondary thing. So Bezalel is the predominant, and Eliyav, who's the din, is only the secondary, which that's the question we asked before. And then, therefore, once we fulfill what we're supposed to do in this world and take the world and use it in a way that we transform this world in a mini way to be the world which is filled with God, God created a world filled with people, we create a world filled with God, then God creates a world that we can be both together, that's the world to come, where we unite and bond and attached to each other. And that's why, just like the world that God created, what gives it its existence? Torah. Im lo brisi yom v'layla chuko shemayim v'arzo samti. If it wouldn't be for Torah, the world couldn't exist. And the world exists every second because there are people learning Torah. And the more Torah learning, the more substantial the world. The less Torah learning, the less substantial the world. Therefore, the main energy source of the Mishkan was the Aron and the Torah. But even more than that, when they had to put the Mishkan together, they finished everything. They had to put it together. They couldn't put it together. They had to bring it to Moshe Rabbeinu to put together, because the entire existence of the world, of the mini world, is only through Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the representation of Torah, so he had to put it together. Just like the big world, it was only the Torah that gave the world kiyum. Right? Until the Torah was given, the world existed, in a very flimsy way. But gave the world, it says, if the Jewish people wouldn't accept the Torah, the world would go back to tohu vavohu. It would lose its existence. So we put the world together through Torah, so Moshe put the little world together through Torah also. And that's why also it says that when God created the world, he created it and destroyed worlds and created worlds, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan, took it down for 7 days, right? Put it up, took it down, the same thing. It's the power of Torah that gives power to creation, and where it's necessary, says, knock down that creation. Because sometimes the Torah has to tell you to destroy, because that's part of building. It says, Binyan Na'orim Skira. When foolish, immature people build, sometimes that's destroying. Their buildings are destroying. But when Zakenim, when sages, wise people tear down, that sometimes is building. So the Torah, as much as it tells you to build, sometimes it tells you to tear down, right? For instance, Torah tells you fast on Yom Kippur. Torah tells you eat on Yom Kippur if you're sick, right? Sometimes the Torah tells you to do things in a positive way. Sometimes it tells you to knock things down that are negative things, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole kiyum of the world is through Torah, but sometimes the kiyum of the world is because the Torah tells you to destroy. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to pick up the Mishkan and take it down and represent this idea of building and destroying, which is all part of creation. And it's all from the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu is a representation of the Torah. And that's why this world, the world that God created, was created in 7 days. But the Mishkan was dedicated and consecrated in 8 days. Because this world is a world of nature that God created for us to exist in, and to take it and take that nature and transcend it and use it to reach out to God. That's number eight. Eight is what's beyond nature. So God created nature. We go and then build that mini world that goes beyond nature and brings God's presence into everything in the world through that mini world. And then God says, fine, now I'm going to create that spiritual world, which is Olam Haba. That's represented by number 10, right? That's the Olam Haba, where now we'll have that connection. I created a world that you should be in it. You're supposed to connect yourself to me, and then I will again connect myself to you, which was the original plan of Chesed, of God creating the Shamos and attaching himself, bonding himself to them. That is the ultimate, but that's total Chesed. So the original world was Din. The world we created is to bring that God's presence, which is main thing, to get that rachamim that God wanted to have in the beginning in the way that would be in the most advantageous way. With that, you can understand something to do with shkolim. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was amazed, how in the world could a half a coin affect atonement? Just giving a half a shekel. So God showed him a shekel of fire. And he said, Zeyitnu, this is what I'm talking about. What means this idea. God created spiritual powers. One of them is called that half shekel of fire in the heavens. And he then created a physical world that corresponds to that spiritual world. We're supposed to then take those physical things and change them back into their spiritual form. So what do we use the half shekel for? To donate for the sacrifices, which turn back into spiritual fire. So we take the spiritual fire coin, God then brings it into this physical world, we take it and create another avenue to create it back into that fire. That's what this world is all about. This world is a place where we connect ourselves to what God intended to begin with, and then God attaches himself to us in Olam Haba. So It's God's world, and then we have our world that brings out the potential of God's world and ends up with the new world of Olam Haba, which is the purpose why this world was created, to enable us to create our world to come. Okay, and therefore, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, and we're in Galus, so we can't create that world in the most ideal way, but at least on a conceptual way, that's what we're supposed to be doing here. We're supposed to be creating through our actions, through our heart, right, a world for God. God created a world that fills up with us. We are supposed to use the world in a way that it fills up with God, and in that way, we'll earn that relationship and that connection to God in the world to come. So as long as there's no Beis HaMikdash, we can't do it in the most ideal way of mamish working with that that mini world, but we have to do it on a way that is not the ideal, but the idea of taking the world and transforming it into a place where God's presence can be. Okay. That's an interesting idea, at least. Yeah.
So I just had a question about actually when Olam Haba, the world to come, was created. Because by this, it sounded like at that very moment, it was created, or is that
no,
when it was
created? No, that's that point. The way Olam Haba is, at least according to the Ramban, right? Olam Haba is not a world that exists now. Mm-hmm. It's a world that God will recreate this world in an eternal way, to fit eternal people. So that's called the Olam Haba. That's Tchias HaMeisim, when the dead will come alive in a way that's eternal. So it's easier to understand. The Rambam holds that Olam Haba is the spiritual world, which exists now for the neshamos. It just comes after you die. But a person creates his standing in that world by what he does in this world. According to the Ramban, you mamish create that world by what you do in this world. You're creating a new world. We create a new world in this world, and then God transfers that new world that we created to Olam Haba.